Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Sunday, December 30th, 2018. It's the last episode of 2018. And once again, I'm Benjamin Abaya. And joining me is my ultimate, spectacular, and amazing twin brother, John Abaya.
Hey guys, I just came back from the universe where I'm Spider-Man. And you're Uncle Ben, but you're not dead.
Yeah.
And wait, no, that doesn't make sense. My son is Spider-Man, yeah. And you're Uncle Ben, yeah. But you're not dead.
Yeah.
So at the end of the episode, if you're anticipating, will Ben die at the end of this episode?
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Sandman all along.
Well, yeah, like I said on the top of the podcast, it is our last episode for this year. I just want to thank all our listeners who's stuck it through this year and, you know, having these episodes coming out in 2 to 3 weeks at a time.
Or one each month.
Yeah, one a month. Thank you for listening. Hopefully next year we're going to be more consistent with being more sporadic about our podcasts. Instead of 1 month, we're going to make it 2 months an episode and whatnot. So we'll see how
we release only four episodes next year.
A seasonal episode, yeah. Basically. Each one for each semester or quarter, whatever system.
But it will be 5 hours long.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what we can guarantee.
That's the difference. And if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watch, listen, played, or read throughout the week. And we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is adding and finalizing the list to the 18 freaking awesome things of 2018. In 2018, I mean. But before all that, once again, we're going to have a trailer talk. This is the last trailer talk of this year.
And it's a doozy.
Yeah, it's a doozy. And it's probably one of the most anticipating films next year for us.
Yes.
And I want to say that in that episode, we might have a lot of guests probably. Plus us.
Yes, plus us. Yes.
And anyway, the trailer talk this week is us.
It's us.
They look exactly like us. They think like us. They know where we are. We need to move and keep moving. They won't stop until they kill us. And we kill them.
That is a clip from the trailer. Here's the plot synopsis from IMDb. A mother and father take their kids to their beach house, expecting to enjoy time with friends, but their serenity turns into tension and chaos when some visitors arrive uninvited. Whoa, this film is directed and written by Jordan Peele, starring Lupita Nyong'o, Winston Duke, Shahadi Wright Joseph, Evan Alex, Elizabeth Moss, and oddly, Tim Heidecker.
Really? Yes. He's in there?
Yeah, from Tim and Eric.
I did not know that, yeah.
The Tim and Eric awesome show. This is kind of odd to have him there. But I think knowing Jordan Peele, where he comes from the comedy background, it's going to kind of cool to see Tim Heidecker in a role. And he's done some couple of like serious dramas before. So it's cool to see him in this horror film. But John, you are a fan of last year's Get Out.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your thoughts of this new trailer for Jordan Peele's new film?
So when it first starts, it looks like just a happy family. I didn't expect that. I was wondering, like, what does us mean? And by the end of the trailer, you'll know. But yeah, I thought it would be another like home invasion movie, the way it plays out. And they do a wonderful thing with the music. I don't know the artist's name. It's I got five on it. I'm probably
Loonies.
Okay, so they do a good rendition of like a horror theme for that. I did not expect to have that song to be so horrific. That I'm looking forward to hear if there's another songs in there. But yeah, it's a very different type of film that I've never seen before, especially the way they portray the us, the other people, the other family. So we're debating. It's four people in the family, but they show a fifth. It looks like a fifth member, child, a little girl. Yeah. That's in the film, but we can't tell if that's part of the family or is someone probably trying to escape. And yes. Then it just helps, you know, that character tries to escape too. Or it's time travel. It's a little, I can't say her name.
Lupita.
That'd be awesome if it's like that. Where in her past, it was, we go back, flashback that she actually maybe switched places. Now I'm not doing any theories. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It looks like Jordan Peele is doing a great job in this genre, and I can't wait for this movie. And also like Twilight Zone that he's producing too.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat. I think using Looney's song, I got 5 on it. It and the remixing it into like this ghastly and like incredible score throughout the trailer sets like a tone for the film. And knowing like, you know, Jordan Peele's background, this is like a new generation of like modern horror. And I'm looking forward because I think Get Out was like this huge hit because it dealt with like social issues and like commentary and with horror elements with it. And then it spoke to like many people, especially like the African-American community, having like these type of films being made that not only cater to them, but also living up to like the horror genre. So it's kind of cool to see that. And him doing this, I remember in an interview, he said it's not really about race, but it has to do with like social commentary again. And I think every horror film has like underneath it, like a social commentary about our society. From even like the greats, like, you know, The
Night
Thing,
of Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead and whatnot. So it's kind of cool that he's continuing that tradition. As for the trailer, it has like some great horror visuals, especially seeing the doppelgangers, I guess you could say.
Oh, yeah, they are, yeah.
I want to see how does Shahadi and Evan, the kids, they play the kids, how they deal with it, with the acting. Because there has this duality when it comes to acting that you don't really see in films, especially horror films, or any type of films where they involve kids.
That's since Jurassic Park now.
Yeah. Wait, what?
The little kids in
No, Jurassic man, Park. Like acting wise.
Oh, yes.
Like
yes,
there's
yes.
never been something where a children are playing two different roles.
Oh, okay. Yes, I see what you're saying.
An evil
yes,
role,
yes,
especially a horror role, and then like their regular normal self. So that's going to see, because you could tell like Lupita Nyong'o and Winston Duke are playing the same dual roles, but it's going to be a challenging for everybody. And I want to see how they're going to pull that through, because having that as like a concept is going to be kind of cool to see in film, especially in a horror film.
Yep.
But yeah, looking forward. I think it comes out around March, mid-year March. I think it comes out a day after Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel.
Okay.
So that'll be a fun event. Yeah. That month.
It's like a double header of like two great things coming.
Yes.
Out.
Yeah. So that is once again us, the trailer. Looking forward. Now going through like something we've done this week. We only did one thing this week because we really want to get to the list. This is going to be also like a longer episode than usual. So just if you have plans, you could like stop the episode midway. but it's going to be an interesting episode because if you want to know the last six things we're going to add, hopefully you'll be delighted. But anyway, John, what have we been watching this past week?
So we watched a movie this week. It's go along with our freaking awesome list. It's like, I think it completes that list of the thing that we picked. We picked Spider-Man to be on that list only because Infinity War came out this year, Venom was a success. I liked it, even though it's like a silly movie. And to end cap that, Spider-Verse came out, and then it had a great year with video games with the Marvel Spider-Man and see Miles in that one too. That was good. But we didn't get to see Spider-Man Miles Morales in the video game. And this film was a treat to see him in it and all the characters. And we watched the movie theater with my son.
So which one we watched? I don't know if you said what.
So we watched Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So if you're not familiar, Dan Slott, he's a writer of Spider-Man a couple of years ago. He passed the baton to Nick Spencer, so he's the current Spider-Man. But Dan Slott made this really cool story about Spider-Verse, where there's different Spider-Men in different dimensions, and they all work together to defeat an evil. It's very different from the comic books. If you're used to it, the comic books has, spoiler, light spoilers, a vampire that drains the essence of a totem that are the spiders in the universe. I'm not going to explain that, really, because it doesn't really, you don't need to explain it for this movie. But this one takes the idea of, like, this different versions of Spider-Man across different dimensions, and the bad guy in this one is if you watch the trailer, you can tell who's the bad guy. It's Kingpin, basically. I'm not going into details,
which about is like the typical foe of Spider-Man, right? Like, yes. Is he one of the Sinister Six?
I guess in this film he is. So the movie is directed by Bob Persichetti.
Yeah,
and Peter Ramsey. So I don't know any.
You know their.
I know their work after like clicking on them, yeah. But I would never expect them to be actually like making a film like this.
So, there's also one more director, I think.
Yeah, it's Peter Ramsey, right?
No, like one more.
Oh, I don't know this one too. Rodney Rothman too. Yeah, I don't know who's that. They seem like they all three of them are into like the, what do you call it? Like kids style movie, except Rodney Rodman,
who works with Phil Lord.
So yeah, that's the big thing that attracted me to the movie is Phil Lord and Chris Miller. I forgot his first name. The guy's first name. Lord and Miller. That's the duel I always think. But I think Phil Lord is like the main person in here. So if you don't know Phil Lord, he created Cloud with the Chance of Meatballs and the Lego Movie. And he also did this really cool TV show, helped create this really TV show called Clone High. And
you're forgetting one more film.
What is it?
He was the original screenwriter for, you know, that blockbuster hit, Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't even watch that. I need to watch that, actually.
Beside them leaving the project.
But they were going to direct it and left the project.
They directed, like, majority of everything, and then they left and they had to.
Do they show their names on this credit?
Yeah, they still do.
Oh, they still do?
For writing.
Oh, okay, writing, okay. Yeah. But I like a lot of their stuff. So I was not disappointed with this film. It has every elements I like about them. They do jokes really quickly. They really flesh out characters really well, multiple characters. So this one deals with several Spider-Men throughout the different dimension. Some you might have heard of. How many of the majority of them, Ben, have you heard?
I heard
before even noticing about this film.
Only two.
Two, okay, yeah.
And I feel like it was just because through you or just. Because I only knew like the regular Spider-Mans. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
in this film they have several one, and if you read the comic books, they show up there. Some of them even have a bigger part in the comic books than in this movie. I'm talking about Spider-Gwen. Spider-Man has a big part in this movie, but she also have a big part in the comic books. So I watched this with my son, and my son likes Spider-Man. He really hated the part where in Infinity War about Spider-Man, what happened to him. But he was so interested to see his journey. He played the game. He likes playing the game. So he wants to see this Spider-Man. And he really likes this Spider-Man. And I always equate this now to him as his Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Because he's seen Miles in so many different things now. The video game and this one. And I will show him. We also have comic books of Miles Morales.
Does Miles Morales show up in the game as like part of the story, as like he's part of the Spider-Verse in the game?
No.
He's just a kid still.
He's still a kid. Okay. And he's not, no spider powers or anything like that, but his story does intersect with Peter Parker.
So it's a cameo.
Nope, it's not a cameo. You play as Miles Morales in that game. Oh, okay. So yeah, he's really cool in that game.
You play as Miles Morales as Spider-Man?
No, right? I said you play Miles Morales. Okay. I didn't say anything about Spider-Man.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Visually, so before going to this movie, seeing the trailer, I thought visually it was great. When the first scene showing like the Columbia Pictures, Sony Presents, they do that. I don't know what is it. The style they have is a very like
static,
maniac type of look. Spray like it's just everywhere, glitchy.
You know what it
like
reminds
that.
Me of?
What?
It's this Casper Noir or whatever his name is. Yeah, he made a film called Enter the Void.
Okay, yeah. I remember the film, but I don't remember like watching parts like that. Like,
well, where... it was in the beginning of the film.
Okay,
where there's like neon lights and all that, where the introduction was just all this neon lights and topography stuff. Yeah.
So when the first like couple of seconds happen, I literally thought I can't watch this. Literally, my eyes hurt. For so much like stimulus of my eyes just like going crazy, but then it calms down like it that's the whole style of the film isn't that. It's more of this weird like focal point where everything in the background,
I think it's 2D and 3D animation.
So everything in the background is like blurred a little bit and everything in the foreground is very like focused, but you'll catch yourself like seeing the background because you want to see things in the background, but it's very blurred out. And then they do that comic book style where the dots, I don't know what you call that style.
I always forgot the dots.
But they do that throughout the film. I really like the visuals. It does a mix of like this animation of 3D, everything. Like just jumble it all together and it's like this cool looking, very unique thing that I've never seen in animation before. I really like it. And each character, the different Spider-Mans have their unique animation too.
Yeah.
Similar to like when you watch Wreck-It Ralph, how the 8-bits are like kind of like off a little bit. Like there's a lag to them. Certain characters in this film also have like a weird lag to them.
That's part of the story too, right?
Yeah.
These are out of their universe. Yep, you're talking about like Spider-Ham.
Yeah, Spider-Ham is a cartoon, but Noir Spider is black and white.
Yeah.
So he has this really cool filter on him. Yeah. And anime, I don't know her name, Penny. Penny, I think it's Penny.
No, Penny.
Penny. Spider-Man has a robot, but she's very anime inspired, and that's kind of cool the way she looked too. And yeah, I really like the way every character design and everything. Story, we'll make this real quick. This is one of my favorite story. So they do a thing in this movie I've never seen actually portrayed in a way like this. I always read this stuff in comic books, but I won't spoil it, but it literally just made me cry.
Yeah.
Because it's a scene that I've never seen they portray in movies, like in live action or in even cartoons. And all the things that I've seen, they did a great job. They did a better job of portraying it and how people feel about the character in a way that I never expected. Mm-hmm. And I really like that. And how it's connected to Miles in a way that I didn't expect. How he's inspired by Peter Parker. And if you know the Ultimate Universe and how Miles came about, then you'll have a feeling what is happening in this film. But then when Spider-Verse happens, then you're like, oh, okay, this is how the training begins and stuff like that. I'm just glad overall the story isn't similar to other stories I've read. And it's very different. The Kingpin is very different look-wise. He's very big, bulky.
I think the character designs for everyone is really unique.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't really see that in live action because it's difficult to do in live action. Mm-hmm. So they have the liberties to do it in animation.
So my only gripe is Scorpion. I don't like that.
Oh, the animation style?
No, I don't care about the animation. It's his look with the robot legs.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of corny. It reminded me of Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
That thing. Like, I like the character, like, the portrayal of him.
Yeah.
But the robot legs are, like, out of nowhere. I was like, oh, okay, this is
I think also, odd. Like, having the surprise take on, like, Doc Ock. And, like,
that
is, not resolved, but, like, how that's portrayed in the film is really cool, too.
Yeah. And then they also, they show Green Goblin, but it's the ultimate version. So if you're used to that.
So what is that? Like, what?
So I don't know the story that well, because I don't read the ultimate books as much. But the... Their goblins are just a monster. Like, the formula that Harry... Or not Harry. What's his name? Osborn. The lead... oh, God. What's... Not Harry.
Is it start with the O again?
No, that's Osborn. No, I forgot. Harry's dad. I totally forgot his name. Osborn, basically, his goblin serum made him like a monster.
Oh, okay.
And, it's like that. So, also, if you're a fan of this story... I suggest you guys watch or read Spider-Verse. That's one that's from Dan Slott. And also Michael Bendis. Oh, sorry. Brian Michael Bendis comic book called Spider-Man with an M-E-N. That one basically is the reason why there's a Spider-Verse. Like how there's two when Peter Parker met Miles Morales, and that's okay. how that's that story. If you want that story of how they're that, and then if Spider-Man 2, the sequel to that comic book, tells that story of the Kingpin a little bit. They take like liberties a little bit, but it has that Kingpin story element of why the reason why the Kingpin's trying to open the dimensions and stuff like that. But yeah, overall, I really liked it. It's one of my favorite films. That's why I'm glad it's one of the freaking awesome lists.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat as you. I think having these different Spider-Men or people portray in a such a unique way is kind of cool. There's like funny moments, but they balance it really well. Mm-hmm. Like you would think Spider-Ham would just be comedic throughout the whole film, but there's this really earnest moment with when they're relating, showing like empathy towards Miles. Mm-hmm. That's really like, wow, this is like he's a Spider-Ham, but he says the right things at the right time mm-hmm. in that moment.
Because I think they all are connected to a moment.
Like yeah,
this
yeah.
one moment that all of them have.
And then it reminded me there's a theme going on in this film that reminded me of The Last Jedi and mm-hmm. how you don't have to be this Jedi that's hereditarily a Jedi. That yeah. you could be a Jedi no matter what. Like you could be this person. I mean, as long as you got bitten by a spider, the spider doesn't like choose just all Peter Parkers mm-hmm. in this universe. It chooses whoever. And it's kind of cool that there's like unique Spider-Man. And then it kind of has the same arc as The Last Jedi. Because when you see Peter B. Parker, and he's like this, essentially a loser. And mm-hmm. He's trying to find his way again. It reminded me of like
Luke Skywalker
yep, in The Last yeah. Jedi.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, that's what. The more I was like watching, I was like, "Oh, this is the same arc as The Last Jedi." Mm-hmm.
And then the old guard basically gives the new guard.
Yeah, it's some hope and everything. So it's pretty cool to see all that. But yeah, overall, like the animation is really great. The writing as well. There's a piece. There's a dialogue here that has similar to like with great response. Great power comes with great responsibility.
Uh-huh.
That's throughout the whole film, but like being responsible for your own actions too is
yep,
on
yeah.
here too. So it's really cool to see that. But yeah, we encourage everyone to watch it. I think it's one of the best films this year. It's one of the best Spider-Man films I've watched.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
Yeah. And then say put for the end credit. I think it's well worth it if you're into Spider-Man so much.
If you're into a lot of Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah, and memes. Really,
yeah, memes.
And let's just say there's someone from The Last Jedi that shows up, an actor. So it's kind of cool. Were you surprised that Chris
Pine?
No, Chris Pine's is Spider-Man.
Which one was he?
He was like the original one from the beginning.
Oh, that's not the original one because the other.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Peter P is B-bar, the 616.
Yeah. So the good looking one, the Catholic blonde hair
yeah.
one.
Yeah, I was surprised that he portrayed him.
That's not a Spider-Man that you know though. That's like created.
Well,
for the film.
Because this thing doesn't take anything from the comic books.
Okay.
The universes, the people, and stuff like that. I mean, they do. There's like certain elements, but. It's not part of the canon that you think in the head, even though they say it is.
Yeah.
Like it's like the Peter B. Parker is 616,
which Earth they're from. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one element I liked about here, so every time they introduce a Spider-Man, they show the comic book, and the comic book has the original creator team on it, the writer and the artist, and mm-hmm. I really love that.
Oh yeah,
it's a good shout out. It has a similar cover of it.
I do like how they took Sam Raimi's Spider-Man and then in insert it in this film.
Oh yeah, yeah,
especially
yeah.
when they do like who am I blah blah blah, like mm-hmm. Like they do that, like how Sam Raimi's films are like
in the beginning
too.
Of
yeah.
each one
yeah.
Yeah, yeah
yeah.
I've heard, like I read online that they were trying to get Tobey Maguire to do the role of the original Spider-Man in here.
Oh, okay.
And make it connected, but then the studio's like, No, we shouldn't do that because that just muddles the whole concept. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, Venom exists and all this other stuff. They don't want to do that. They don't, like, Doc Ock exists.
They just want to do the shout-outs.
Yeah, they just do, like, every Spider-Man did their Sam Raimi thing.
Well, it seems like they forgot Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They say in the sequel there might be a call-out to all of those movie ones.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, oh, that would be cool to get all the Spider-Verse and do the actual Spider-Verse.
You know what's funny is that you even mentioned this years ago.
Oh, yeah.
When
yeah.
they did like Andrew Garfield, mm-hmm. and you were thinking that, oh, they're going to do the Spider-Verse yep. somehow.
I wanted a Spider-Verse where Tobey Maguire is the old Spider-Man and teaching Miles Morales. But I wanted Tobey Maguire to reprise his role.
Yeah.
This is live action, though.
Yeah.
This is why I wanted a live action film.
But you wanted also like Andrew Garfield and yeah, the new Spider-Man. Mm,
like all any, and Drake, or what's his name? From Drake and Josh. He played the anime Spider-Man. One of them did. I forgot which one. I want to say Drake.
I never watched that show. Okay. So moving on to the list of the freaking 18 freaking awesome things of 2018. We'll start with myself. So starting off the list, I will put a film that I just recently watched. It is If Beale Street Could Talk. So this film is directed and written by Barry Jenkins. It's adapted from a 1970s novel by James Baldwin with the same title. It stars Kiki Layne and Stephen James. The film is about a woman named Tish and her fiance Fonny living in Harlem and their family struggle to prove Fonny's innocence of a crime while Tish is pregnant with his baby. So Fonny's like locked up and whatnot. So this is both relevant and meaningful in today's time, because it does deal with like not brutality in a sense, but how corrupted the system is when it comes to the prison system, corrupted how the justice system is too, and how easily it is for innocents to be in the system without any like remorse for them. And like Blue Moonlight, Barry Jenkins, which is like his second film he directed and which won the Oscar a couple years ago, he achieved in creating another poetic and empathetic story by using like his filmmaking skills, and as like when it comes to the score and the cinematography, it's all there again, and the performances are great. It reminds me of Wong Kar-wai's films. You ever watch?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Like In the Mood of Love or Chongqing Express, which are like films from China that are really beautiful and just very poetic. Like Barry Jenkins, he relies on lingering shots and moments where the score sombers, has like makes you somber or whatnot, and well up with like tears and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, and I know that's one of Barry Jenkins' inspiration, or he's inspired by Wong Kar-wai films. And just want to give a shout out to Regina King, who gives like an exceptional performance here as one of the supporting casts. She plays the Tish's mother, which is played by Kiki Layne. She's really great in here. It's a role that I feel like should be defining and be recognized. I think the Golden Globe didn't nominate her, but I think she's worthy for like the Oscar and whatnot. So yeah, and I read the book. I just finished reading the book a couple days ago before I watched the film, and it takes certain liberties, the film, but overall, like it captures those moments and it captures the book's themes and what it's trying to say. And it's kind of cool because the book is written almost 30, 40 years ago, and it still echoes of like what the struggle of this family is going through. It echoes today, like how those same struggles are being echoed in families now in modern time. So it's kind of cool that James Baldwin's book is being created like this, or the film based on his book is being created in such a meaningful and a delicate way that, this is again by Barry Jenkins. I can't wait until he does more films. I feel like he's one of those new auteurs that to look forward to, and especially, I don't know, there's something about the score, he does it really well. I really recommend like his first film, which is like something that was like almost 10 years ago. I forgot what it was called, like Melancholy something. But
is that the one with Kristen Stewart?
No, it's an independent film.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is like just two people walking the streets of San Francisco.
Really? That's the whole thing?
It's just like what do you call that? Before Moonlight, Before Sunset. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever heard those films. But yeah, so that is If Beale Street Could Talk. I'm gonna put that on my list. So that is number, what number are we? I think there are there are 12 things we have. Oh, before I start the list, I just realized.
You should
say what these. So the 18 freaking awesome things of 2018. These are in no particular order when it comes to like number, but we just have them in order of this just so we could remember it. God of War, the video game. Black Panther, the film. Oh, Black Panther. Panther came out this year. Mm-hmm. Totally. Game Night, the film. Super Organism, the music, the album. Josh Brolin for playing Thanos in Cable. Ant-Man and the Wasp. Fortnite Season 6 or in 7. Do you want to include
all
that?
In 7, yeah.
Yeah. Fortnite overall, I guess. Yeah. Widows. Daredevil Season 3. The Haunting of Hill House. Spider-Man, like the overall like character and his involvement in all these things. And
the impact he had on 2018.
Olivia the Dog, which was in Widows and Game Night. So he gets a special shout out. Then, of course, If Bill Street Could Talk. So now we're going to film 14 and 18. So, John, what is your 14?
So my 14 is a thing that we reviewed earlier this year, like very beginning of this year. And it's the TV show from HBO called Barry.
Yeah.
So if you don't know anything about the show, it's what's his name? Bill Hader's character, Barry, is an assassin that moves to L.A. for a hit. And then gets caught up in this like theater group. He wants to also be an actor. So you get that. And it's only about 8 episodes on HBO. It balances drama and comedy really well. This is the first time that I've seen
it's dark comedy.
It's dark comedy, really dark comedy. A lot of people are dead. A lot of people get killed in this show alone. But it's also a redemption type of film on the lines
film
of
television show.
I'll always call it this film. A television show in like, I say if you like Breaking Bad, you'll like love this. Especially the character that Bill Hader plays is kind of like you like him, but at the same time you cheer for him, but at the same time you kind of want him to get caught in this weird way because what he's doing is kind of bad, but you like feel bad for him.
And there's some innocent people being killed too.
Yeah, there's a lot of people being killed in here. So there's a lot of performances. I think Steven Root character, he plays like the manager / like, I don't know what you call that, an assassin, like the League of Assassins, where the person who books you everywhere. Does Hitman, the actual Hitman game, this is like a little tangent.
They have a person that, yeah.
Okay, like there's a person
in Hitman, it's the lady. I forgot her name.
So Steven Root plays that character where whenever there's a hit, he calls Bill Hader and tells him, oh, there's a hit, this much money, and then Bill Hader will respond to it. Bill Hader seems like there's like a code of honor he has a little bit, but it kind of tests it in this show with certain characters. He kind of falls in love with like a character that Sarah Goldberg plays named Sally, and you can tell like they date and stuff like that, but it has a good like what do you call
chemistry?
It? Chemistry with them too.
Can I give a shout out to one of the characters? Noho Hank.
Yes, I think
played
so.
By Anthony Carrigan.
Yes,
who
yes.
looks exactly like that. And I think he doesn't have eyebrows and whatnot, and he does that because when he gets acting roles, he wants to be immersed in the film or in whatever roles he has. So it's kind of cool that he did that.
A lot of actors do that. I didn't know that they do that to the point where they'll shave off their eyebrows and stuff like that.
And Henry Winkler.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Henry Winkler is in here. He's really good. I think he does a great job as being this coach for actors and stuff like that.
Gene.
Which one?
His name is
Gene. Oh, yeah. Gene. And also shout out to the detective in this show. There's always has to be a detective in this show. What did Breaking Bad have?
His brother-in-law.
Yeah, but what's his name? I forgot his name.
I forgot
the
his
Shield
name.
Guy.
Yeah.
He's
not the Shield guy. He's just bald.
Isn't he?
No.
Oh, no. I think about. What did he play? Oh no, he didn't play anything. Yeah never mind. What's her name? I think her name is Daryl Britt.
Yeah.
Gibson. She plays a detective. She's really good in the show. So, if you guys have HBO, I don't think this is streaming anywhere.
No.
Like, you have to have HBO. Watch it if you're a Bill Hader fan. I've always been his fan since SNL. I love, like, has his characters and anything he's in.
His
he does a great job.
His
impressions, yes. His impressions. And, just watch Barry on HBO.
I'm next, so that is what, number 14?
Yes, 14.
So I'm number 15. I'll put there Tetris Effect. It is a game for the PS4 right now at the moment. It's developed by Monstars Inc. and Resonaire. When one of the producers is the well-known video game producer, which has his pedigree as Rez and
I don't know. I know what game you're talking about, but I have no idea how to say that.
Tetsuya Mitsuguchi. I think that's how you say his name. So the game simply is hypnotic. I think I text messaged you, John, about like how hypnotized you would get by playing the game, and it's basically Tetris. Like, it's just simple Tetris. It has really creative de level designs, and when I mean level designs, it's just like the background. But I think one of the highlights is the music that's attached to each level. Every time you spin a block or the Tetris, oh wait, what do you call them?
Tetra. No, there was a name actually. I don't know the actual
Because
name.
Tetris is what you get when you have the four col rows get when you get four rows in a row. I forgot what tiles. I don't know what you
No, they're
call
not
them.
called
But every
tiles.
time you
Oh,
spin,
they're called tetramonials.
yeah,
Oh
tetramonials.
God.
Yeah. So
And they're not they're I guess they're polyomino made of four square blocks. So every tetramono is four blocks. Very odd to say it that way because when I hear the word Tetris, I think of three. So I would never think like I don't know
That's
these
weird.
Triforce and stuff with T's.
Yeah, but they're all the same. The mechanics are all the same. It's just a new exterior when it comes to Tetris. I know it is. I heard that it's really spectacular in VR. We don't have VR for the PS4. What is it called? Is it
It's
PSVR?
be a PSVR.
Yeah, but it's refreshing, and it's a modern take of it. Like I said, like when you are moving these blocks, it makes like sound effects and whatnot that goes with the beat. So it's kind of like a rhythm game. It's not meant to be a rhythm game, but you want it to be a rhythm game
Will
because
the
you.
rhythm mess up if you mess up? Like it
No,
will
no, 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 no,
like
no, no. It won't do it.
almost like how you ever played Guitar Hero and if you get a beat wrong, it
No,
will
no.
droop like
It's more
the
of like a rhythm game that once you there's tiers. Like if you do, it's I'm playing in normal, which is like you have to complete 36 lines. So if like you pass a certain line count, like 10 or 20, it will get faster, and the music will get faster, or it's
Okay.
going to change a little bit, the music. I don't, my best score has always been B. I never could get
What
an
does that
A,
even mean?
like A, B,
This is
C,
great.
D, yeah, grading. But yeah, I'm playing it in normal. I'm
Is
almost done with it.
there multiplayer player? Multiplayer
No, I
player?
don't
Oh.
think so. I haven't seen
So this is a single
multiplayer.
player game?
Yeah, it's a
Oh
single player.
wow.
What we've been doing, we've just been trading off and trying to see who has like the best score,
Is
who
there a high
could.
score or you could like input your name like
No,
BN?
no, no. There is high score there, but it's if you're playing as your own account, I don't think there's no. This
Oh,
is
they
not
don't
as.
keep track of every score? That
They
sucks.
do, but it's
But it's
you.
not
You're
like
just
you're
playing.
inputting
No,
like a
no, no.
name or
Different
anything.
names, no. But yeah, that is Tetris Effect for the PS4. John, your turn.
Going from a good game to a good place, I've been watching. So this show came out a couple of years ago. I've never
Just
heard of
last year,
it.
actually.
Last year? Oh, okay. So I've never heard of it until recently. Yeah, it came out in 2016, actually. This is the third season I'm watching. So it came out a couple of years ago. I've never heard of it until recently. I don't know where I heard it.
From me, probably.
No, I think I heard it. Oh, no. So Kristen Bell, the star of The Good Place, was on Conan O'Brien's TV podcast. So Conan O'Brien has a podcast, and it says like, "Are we friends?" That's the whole podcast. So she was a person on there, and she talked about The Good Place and how it's the third season, and the just like real quick. And then I was like, "Oh, what's the concept?" So I looked it up and. I think I heard it from you later on to remind myself of it. And I didn't know the actual. Oh, I also read an article saying that the show is like Lost. And I was like, what? What the heck is that? And like all these combination of stuff I really like. And yeah, so if you don't know, I mean,
You can't spoil it,
I
I guess,
can't
right there.
spoil it, but it's about Kristen Bell character in The Good Place, and she is. Needs help in the good place, and then
Well, she gets okay in the first episode. You think, oh, you know that the good place is supposedly heaven, right? And
a bad person.
she was a bad person, but she got mixed up thinking because she had the same name as someone else.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a whole.
So she's not rightfully shouldn't. She should not be in heaven.
No, no, no. At the moment, that's
which is a good.
Like thing. That's literally the first episode. Yeah. If that doesn't hook you, there's other twists.
Yeah.
That probably will. But the show does a great job of illustrating good in this weird way, like how to be good. And I think
Because in the good place, you're not allowed to like curse.
No.
There's no bad things.
There's
going
nothing
on.
Bad things happening. Well, you technically can hurt someone, yeah. but they don't die. They come back to life. But I think one of the best part about the good place is about morals and ethics. And there's a character played by William Jackson Harper named Chidi, and he does a great job. So Chidi in the show is helping Eleanor, that's Kristen Bell's character, and Chidi is a ethics teacher.
Yeah,
and he's a teacher, and he's teaching her how to be good, but he's using these books, these like like philosophy and all this stuff.
Philosophical
things about, you know, you hear about these like not moments, but these tests they do. I don't know how I'm explaining it, but when you start seeing Chidi and you get why the show is good, because I think he's like the heart of the show, and he does a great job of just teaching everyone how to be good, and he has his own problems, but you'll see in the show. But yeah, he does a great job. The other characters on here, I have to mention, Ted Danson's in this, and he plays the architect. Like, he's the one who built the good place, and he's really good. If you miss him in Cheers, or if you watch NCIS, I guess he's on that show, he's good. Like,
he plays a different character.
He plays a good character, but in the way... It's a different Cheers, character. I thought of him as, like, he's a misogynist. Yeah, misogynist. Character in that show, like kind of like in a weird way. I haven't watched Cheers in a long time, so I don't know how it is if you watch it now, but he plays this whimsical character. So if you like what was that show, the Pie Man, he has this whimsical attitude.
Pie Man. That's the name of the show, Pie Man.
It's the guy.
Are you talking about Pushing Daisies?
Yeah, Pushing Daisies. So you knew what I was talking about, the Pie Man.
Yeah. It does. This show also has that whimsical.
Yeah, it has. Overall, the whole show is whimsical.
Yeah.
But his character is whimsical, and a character named Janet, played by Darcy Carden, is very whimsical in this.
She's a good actress.
She's a very good actress. If Chidi's the heart of the thing, she is. The laughter. Yeah. I think she is one of the funniest people I've ever seen. I don't know her like in anything else besides this show. And when she introduced her and her character, it just goes everywhere. Like, watch it from season one to season three. Her character does this weird arc that I've never heard of in any character that you've seen in shows before. It's really cool. Last two characters are really good too. Played by Jamil named Tahiti.
Yeah.
Tahani. That's how you say her name. She plays.
They didn't realize they used her last name as her character's last name too.
She plays Tahani, and she is this kind of like rich person that gave to the poor, and that's why she's in the good place.
Yeah.
But she plays a high celebrity to the point where she's just name dropping every movie star that you know of, and she knows everything, and she's really good in it. And my last one is Manny Giacchino. He plays Jason. He's
Filipino too.
Yeah, he's Filipino. Filipino Chinese.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be mean, but he's a dumb character. Like, every time they mention, we recently went out on like this trip with our friends and stuff like that, and one of my nephew and his wife said like, "Oh," I mentioned like, "Oh, you guys watch The Good Place," and they said, "Oh yeah. Doesn't he remind you of Jason?" I was like, "No, because Jason is dumb."
Who reminds you of Jason?
I don't want to say after podcast, I'll say it's just a funny thing. And I literally said, "No, he does not. He can't be reminding you of Jason." He said, "No, the look." I was like, "No, he doesn't. That like the look too."
Yeah,
because this character is very dumb, but he's very funny too.
Yeah.
And they're all funny. Like, even though Kristen Bell is like the headliner of here, I think all of them do
like
a great job.
Yeah, class, ensemble. Cast.
It reminds you almost like Community, even though what's his name? The Hall Hale.
Yeah, I forget his name.
Even though he's like the face of it, I think all of them all together does a great job in it. That's why I'm putting the list. And if you want every episode to kind of make you cry towards the ending, This is the episode. It's a happy type of tears I always have, and there's like lessons here that you kind of feel like, yeah, just let's all just be good. Why are we even bad to people like that? Yeah, but yeah, the Good Place. I think it's NBC. I've been watching it on Hulu, Netflix.
Is it all the seasons on Hulu?
You have to watch it NBC to watch. It has commercials and stuff like that if you want to like catch up.
Yeah.
So season four, or I guess this is like first half or whatever, season four. So new episodes are January 10th if you do catch up. And yeah, check it out, The Good Place.
Cool. And then number 17, I'm going to put The Carters album, Everything Is Love. So if you don't know who The Carters, it's Beyonce and Jay-Z, you know, the married couple.
Oh, is that Nick Carter and the brother? No. I don't even know his brother's name.
I don't know his brother's name. Sean. Let's just
Sean
say
Carter? No, that can't be Sean and Jay-Z. That would be a cool follow-up album. It's Nick Carter. Not... It would be Carter's 2, but they took it from Beyonce.
Yeah.
I don't know his brother, Nick. Something.
Anyway, this is the album that came out this summer. It really was a monumental album because this being their second album together, but also made way for like a tour for them, which is On the Run Tour 2. On the Run 2 tour.
That's a lot of
them. I know. But yeah, if you haven't been following Jay-Z and Beyonce, this kind of is like her first album Lemonade was the first part, and then Jay-Z's album last year 4444 was like the second part, and this is the third part that kind of finishes everything, their story arc, you could say, of like their marriage and how they dealt with what happened and what is happening and what they're going to look forward in their future. And the album is really cool because they kind of switch roles. I feel like they kind of switch roles on their personas, where Jay-Z doesn't play like the hard knock life rapper anymore in this one. He plays more of a sensitive rapper and he's caring in here, while Beyonce doesn't play like, not only like, you know, people probably will relate to her as being like, you know, part of Destiny's Child, but she reverses
independent.
But she's like now, I mean, she's still independent, but she is now like the hardcore version of herself in this album. And then she's the one that's singing and even rapping the hardest lyrics in this album, which is kind of cool that they got to put those roles. Like I said, like I think Jay-Z's in this album's more sensitive, while Beyonce's more hardcore, and it kind of gels really well where they switch those roles. But yeah, like from their videos to how they promoted the album is really good. So and the artwork is great, and then how they have to be in the Louvre in Paris and shot all those promo shots is really cool.
And in the Louvre, it's hard for people to do that too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like it's
because they literally had to close down the Louvre.
The whole thing.
for them to do that, they probably shot it like in the morning, like early morning or something. But yeah, that's The Carters, Everything Is Love, as number 17 and the last place. And then you better pick something that's really cool that everyone heard of, John, because I don't want like a YouTube stars to be on here. Or
I'll try to pick.
Yeah,
something
what were they
cool.
called now? YouTube stars. They're
influencers.
Really, influencers.
Well, sorry, Ben. I'm an influencer to you for you. So one of the reasons why I'm picking them, it's a group of people that I don't know. They're people that I've seen on YouTube, and I just scrolled on them, like I didn't really care.
Uh-huh.
Like I would say, oh, okay, whatever. And this year though was different because they branched off, they left BuzzFeed and they branched off to be more independent, and they're actually making their own content. And my wife was watching them one day, and I started watching them. They did the wonderful series I discussed here a couple months ago, probably. They did a series about while driving, influenced by while driving. So they did like a drunk, high, sleepy, and something else, like phone texting and something like that. And then after that series, I just got hooked on them, and I really like all their personalities. And I'm discussing about the Try Guys, not BuzzFeed the Try Guys, but they're on their own. So if you don't know them, it's Keith, Ned, Zach, and Eugene. It's four of them, four guys.
So these are the three brothers, right?
Yeah, they're brothers. Yeah, yes.
They have their own show.
Yeah, yeah.
Their old show was called Me, My Brother, and My Brother.
Oh, no. Oh, My Brother, My Brother, and I.
Yeah, yeah.
The McElroy brothers. Yeah, yeah, that's them, though, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Keith McElroy, Ned McElroy, Zach McElroy, yeah, and yeah. their stepsons, Eugene McElroy.
Yes.
Yeah, you can check them out. They have a podcast called something.
The Try Guys.
The Try Guys. But yeah, if you guys...
It's the same concept though, right?
No. Oh. So I would say go there and check them out. They're a very progressive bunch of people. Like, they want to look at things differently, especially in this nation. Like, they try new things. They try anything that you think. If you go scroll down the video, let's see.
Let me call out some of these titles.
Okay. Let's go to the very beginning of this year. So this is the first, the try guys throw a baby shower. So yeah. I watched this episode and it is Ned, or is it Keith? I forgot which it is. It's Ned. So Ned is the only one that has a kid, and they threw a baby shower at him. The other three threw a baby shower at him. It's very cool, but you get to see them just being best friends throwing together and stuff like that. The Try Guys deliver a baby.
So they
didn't deliver a baby, but they had a fake baby. They try it out. Okay. It's really cool just to see because Ned is the only father, they could see it. Try Guys
diet
like pregnant women for a week. That's interesting. So they just eat food like a pregnant woman. I didn't watch all these.
Skip the ones that doesn't say the Try Guys.
Okay. The Try Guys meet Ned's baby. So if you want to continue the story of that, that's there. Why we started our own company.
Right.
Try Guy crash tests a new roller coaster. So I didn't see that one too. Blah, 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 blah. Great podcast. The Try Guys recreate fan fiction. That's kind of cool. So these a lot. Because they are very progressive, they have a lot, and Eugene represents the LGBT 2Q community really well. There's a lot of fan fiction about them, and you watch this video, it's kind of funny. It's the way the fanfic.
Is there a podcast form of this?
No, they don't. Oh. It's all video. They do strictly video. It's kind of interesting. Well, which Try Guy knows Eugene best? Try Guy gets kidnapped. I never watched that. And they dive into more personal stuff. So
saw one where it says one of the guys bring their fathers to a drag queen.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes. In that one. But yeah, each person has a different personality. Mm-hmm. You can relate to any of them. It's a combination of all of them. What I take from all of them growing up, a lot of them grew up as the odd ones out. So they all are odd people that just combine. They didn't seem like they know each other that long until they met in BuzzFeed and they created the Try Guys. So if you knew them from the BuzzFeed back day, they're still similar. They do like pranks on each other and stuff like that. But yeah, I overall just enjoy their film, and it's like a
film. Everything's a film to you.
It's a film. I look in my eyes, Ben. Everything's a film. At the end of the day, before I sleep, I see credits. Before I wake up, I see the title screen. It's a title screen. And who's starring in my day today? I better get an Oscar for my performance every day. But yeah, just enjoy it. You can check
the recommendation. Okay.
Check them out at youtube.com.
The whole list is the only thing I don't know about is this the Try Guys.
Oh, that's the only thing? Yeah. So yeah, check them out. Cool. Just go sit down on your TV.
I guess I'll try the Try Guys.
Yeah. You can make a video of that. Yeah. The freaking awesome podcast, Try the Try Guys.
Yeah.
And then just post that up.
So that makes up, that tops our whole list of the 18 freaking awesome things of 2018. Once again, we're going to go from the bottom to the top. The Try Guys, The Carters, The Good Place, Tetris Effect, Barry, If Bill Street Could Talk, Olivia, The Dog, Spider-Man, The Haunting of Hill House, Daredevil Season 3, Widows, Fortnite, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Josh Brolin, Super Organism, Game Night, Black Panther, and God of War. So enjoy those things. I know there are a lot of lists out right now from BuzzFeed, from Variety, from GiantBomb.com. Even in Twitter, there are a lot of lists. But we are the ideal list when it comes to
Fortnite. Check out our list if you want to know about a dog named
Malud. A dog, a single dog.
Yes.
Yeah,
there will be a list. Even like BuzzFeed does that. Yeah. They don't do like top... Does Olivia have a Twitter account? I think we should like
at Olives, who've been stuck with us, who stuck it through the
stuck
whole.
Stuck with us? Yeah. Why are you stuck with us?
Who stuck it? And that are more consistent. We'll probably talk about like scheduling. If you want us to contact us, it's at contacts. Follow us on Twitter at TFA Now. On Instagram, we don't have Instagram actually. On the Facebook, where did they find you, John?
You can find me on Twitter, on the most organized Twitter feed of 2019. We'll see.
You can find me on the Twitter and Instagram at Benjamin Abaya. Anyway, yeah, you could enjoy your New Year. Be safe. Don't drink and drive. Make those New Year's resolutions. Hopefully, you could stick with them instead of like having them disappear.
My resolution is to have a podcast episode every week.
That's good. We'll see. We could
That's
try
my
to do
resolution.
That. We have enough content.
We just
hours.
Do like 5 minute ones. Like, yeah. This is our resolution. Goodbye.
Yes. But yeah, thank you again. We hope to see you guys.
So early this year, you said you want 500 Twitter followers. We're sitting at like 109.
Yeah.
We need that 400 in the last minute. So
yes.
In the last day.
Everyone, if you're listening to this, please tweet at us or tweet.
Follow us.
Follow us and tweet. Tweet our episodes to everyone on your. It's like Follow Back Fridays. Is that?
I don't know. I don't. That's an old thing. Yeah. I'm not hip.
Yeah. Follow Back Fridays.
Is there still Throwback Thursdays? Yeah. And,
but yeah, we could do that. But anyway, once again, thank you for listening. I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the freaking awesome podcast.